Praise God. Today is probably going to be one of the hardest messages I will preach because I'm preaching in front of two of my pastors. No pressure. Thank you, Papa. I love you. There's no need for extra words. Reverend TJ, you are the most beautiful woman. And I don't just mean outside. Your heart is the most beautiful I have ever seen. Thank you for everything that you represent. We're so grateful. David, I know where David gets his behavior. I used to think it was PK, but I think he skipped a generation. It's actually Rev. Because only David and Rev eat and shake to make more room. Or am I the only person that thought that was weird? Please help me celebrate my parents. And then, of course, the loudest person in the room when Rev was introducing me. please help me celebrate my husband. I thank God every day that I met him. If not, I wouldn't have met Rev. So he's changed my life. He's been such a huge blessing to me. This morning, I bring you God's word. Before you sit, I'm going to ask you to just join me in a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you. I don't take it for granted. Every time you give me an opportunity to speak to your people, I ask this morning that our hearts will be open to receive your word, that we will find answers where there have been questions, we will find direction where there has been confusion. I pray that there will be light, and above all, that you will give us the grace to do your will in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Please help me celebrate Jesus as you take a seat this morning. Praise God. This is really homecoming for me. This is my home. So the truth is, anything I preach, if I say the one that you're angry, you can't beat me. My dad is here. So you meet me in Lagos. Okay. So let's start from Genesis 26. I read from verse 1. Should I read from my own? Let me read from my own. Okay. So I'm reading New King James Version. Start from the very first verse. It says, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Can we read that together? Do not go down to Egypt. Can we read it again? One more time. It says, live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I spoke to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. And the Bible says that Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And he dwelt in Gerar, and the blessing took effect immediately. In fact, how do I know the blessing took effect? Because the blessing will touch every area of your life, including your wife. You didn't hear me. The blessing took effect. Before this time, there was no mention of how beautiful she was, his wife was. But the Bible says that from that point on, he had to lie that Rebecca was his sister because she was so beautiful that people wanted to take her. See, when the blessing touches you, it touches every area of your life. It will touch your bank accounts. It will touch your spouse. It will touch your children. It will touch your career. It will touch your business. See, you cannot have the blessing and hide it. And so, he had to start lying to them that his wife was his sister. But one day, because body no be firewood, the king Abimelech saw him romancing his wife by the window. And I called him, that, why do you want to put us in trouble? I thought you said this woman was your sister. And he said, because I don't want to come and kill myself and die. So I said, I should say that she's my sister, so people will not kill me. Long and short of the story, they made a decree that everybody should leave this man and his wife. And then the Bible tells us in verse 12 that Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Remember in verse 1, there was a famine. Remember in verse 1, he wanted to go down to Egypt. God said to him, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land that I will tell you. And says that he reaped in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper in famine. And he continued prospering until he became what? Until he became what? Are you tired this morning? Okay. He became very prosperous. And he goes ahead to list all the things that he had. And he was so prosperous that the king said, depart from us, for you are mightier than we. When people start to speak bad English, it means that the thing has hit them different. He said, depart from us, because you are mightier than we. So the thing, well, the blessing was too much. Their land could not contain it, so they sent him away. Imagine having all of that, all the cattle, all the gold, all the everything that they had mentioned, and then they seize it from you. Because when he was going, they told him to just be going. And then the Bible tells us from verse 17, which is where I'm really going, but I want to give you a background. It says, then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the headsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's headmen, saying, the water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Today, I want to talk to you about the secret of Rehoboth. Tell your neighbor the secret of Rehoboth. Interestingly, every time I read this story, I kind of see a picture of Nigeria. Every time I go back into the story and I read it, I just see a picture of Nigeria. And for as long as I've known, I don't think there has been a year in Nigeria that things have necessarily gotten better. I don't think dollar has ever gone backward. It has always gone forward. I don't think that, I still remember that there was a time I was buying dollar at least 150. I still remember when I was much younger, my parents used to talk about 1-to-1. That's £1 to 1 naira. But now, that £1 is worth, is 800 naira. It's more than 800 now. Wow. It's much more now. And in those days, in fact, it was considered, why would I, my parents didn't understand why you would relocate to a place like America, to a place where their money was less than the naira. But since that time till now, it seems like every year there's a famine in the land. How many people feel like that? It seems like every year, things are just getting tougher and harder and worse. And you see, just like Isaac, a lot of us have gotten into the mode of, let us go down to Egypt. Maybe your own is not called Egypt. Maybe your own is called Canada. Or maybe your own is called the UK. Or maybe America. Everybody wants to jackpot. And to be honest, because of the way things look, it looks like the only reasonable move to make. And so Isaac, too, wanted to jackpot. After all, when things were tough for his father left. So he too wanted to jackpot like his dad did. But the Lord said something to him. He said, do not go down to Egypt. Go to the land that I will tell you. One of the biggest secrets to reaching your Rehoboth is to make sure that the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord must be leading you. Some of you may be directed to leave this country, but some of you will be asked to stay. God told him to go back to that place where there was famine. And in that place that there was famine, he prospered in that land. Now, this message is not to ask you to go and withdraw your application, because I know some of you have submitted it. Because you say, if you like preacher, this preach where they preach me. As I'm looking at myself like this, I'm already in Canada. So preach all your preaching. You stay in this Nigeria and build it if you want to build it. But I'm saying this because if you look at the Bible, people who have moved ahead of God have always entered trouble. Let's look at Naomi, for instance. There was famine in the land. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, carried their load and went to Moab. And they got to Moab, and it seemed like they were prospering. Because they got there, they got married and had two sons. And their sons got married. And everything seemed like it was okay. Then Elimelech died. Then the two boys died. So Naomi had to leave that land. Even though she came there excited, she left there miserable. Why? Because she moved when she should not have moved. Because not long after they moved, news came to meet her that the place you left, bread has been released to that place. So she had to go back there. So before you make a move, the question you should ask yourself is this where God is leading me? God is the only person who knows where your Rehoboth is. It may be a land where everybody thinks there's famine. It was in the land where everybody considered was famine that God made room. So before you make that move, before you go and drop the application, and before you move because everybody is moving, ask yourself, is the Lord leading me to this place? Let me tell you how you will know that you've reached your Rehoboth. Because we're talking about Rehoboth, But when you get to your Rehoboth, how do you recognize it? How do you know that that place is your Rehoboth? I'll give you a few things. But before that, when we read that story, before he got to his Rehoboth, he dug a couple of wells. He first went back to dig the wells that his father dug and that they stopped. Wells are symbolic of your spiritual relationship with God. It's a place where your source is. So in those days, for them, it was where they could get water and where other things would come from. But for us today, we can consider water your relationship with God. So he went back to the things that his father did. Some of us have moved so far from the foundations. And the Bible says that you should be careful not to move the landmarks, the ancient landmarks that have been placed. And the reason why it's moving and we're not noticing is because a lot of us are being pastored by social media and not by church. So everything that looks okay on social media, we don't go back to check the word of God, whether it's okay with God as well. It's raining, we move. It's trending, we move. That's what everybody's doing, we move. All kinds of doctrines on social media, all kinds of things. And you see, one of the things I know about God is that where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. I don't believe that God will give you so many restrictions. God wants intimate relationship with you. They make you seem as if you are not doing things like this. If you are not doing that, if you are not doing things, will not work for you. Listen to me. The most important thing is that you know your God. So he went back to digging the wells his father had dug. He went back to the ancient landmarks. He went back to the things, the foundational things. For you to enter your Rehoboth, there are some foundational things you must do. Number one, prayer. You cannot escape it. I know these days most people don't want to pray. We want to shout at God. And I'm not talking about shouting at God and commanding him. It's not your mate. Sometimes the way people even pray, my heart can't take it because me, you can't even talk to me like that. Commanding, you say I should command it the way I command you. Command who? Who again are you talking to? Prayer has become a give me. Do it. I'm going to say, you go. If I do it, which one will you do? So when I mean prayer, you must have an intimate relationship with God where you can ask him questions. Lord, should I move? Should I go here? And where you can acknowledge his sovereignty over your life. The Bible says that we are the sheep of his pasture. He's our God. So he's the one that determines the moves that you should make. See, If I don't get married by December 30, I've tried for you, God. I've tried. See, I'll backslide. You don't know me, oh. Holy Spirit, you don't know me. And remember, I'm laughing because if you lie for stride, backslide, underslide, above slide, he's still God. Whether you serve him or not, he's still God. He's only doing this to favor you and to bless you. So prayer, you must go back to digging the well of prayer. The second well you must dig is the well of the word of God. What does the word say? Before you make a move, ask yourself, what does the word say? I don't care what social media says. And I'm saying it again. I don't care what social media says. If it is contrary to what the word of God says, don't take it. Let every man be a liar and let God be what? Be true. Go back to studying the word. It's not out of fashion. I miss the days when you people would hear a sermon, they would take notes and they would go back and check whether what was said is so. Now we take notes just to look interested. Sometimes we don't even take notes anymore. Just press our phone. People are doing Instagram in church. Sometimes they even put do selfie in church, worshiping God, hashtag worship is life, hashtag Jesus baby. At what point are you not worshiping the worship? Even during worship, where hands are lifted, your phone is lifted. It has become so bad that nobody's paying attention anymore. You will preach a sermon, people will ask you questions. You will say, do not be unequally yoked. Immediately you drop mic and say Q&A. We have a question here. Pastor, is it okay for me to marry a guy that is not born again? I just preached it now. You finish preaching on time. Immediately you move. Pastor, there's a question here that I think will be very good for you. Pastor Kingsley or Reverend Femi can take it depending on who. Should we pay tithe knowing that it is the Old Testament? I just preached it now. And the reason is because nobody wants to read their Bible. We want to hear somebody say it. A lot of times, the reason why you are not having victory and why you are not moving closer to your Rehoboth is because you do not have a word from God. You've never heard him. I can't count the number of people who reach me and say, oh, Pastor Mildred, I'm trusting God for a child. And I say, oh, fantastic. They say, oh, join me in faith. I say, oh, beautiful. So what word are we standing on since I'm joining you? Because not my own faith, now I will carry you. I won't join your own. So what word are we standing on? I think, I'm not sure of where it is. I'm not sure of where it is. But I think that the Bible says that I will not be barren. I say you think, and you are not sure of where it is. The last time I checked, you had a phone and you have Google on it. How about you search for it? Because when you have found it, there will be a reward. So go back to digging wells of the word. You can't play around the word. People don't read anymore. And I thought initially it was that people don't read books. Even Bible, they don't read. Read your Bible. Getting to Rehoboth is not magic. There was work involved. Do you think that Isaac was digging the wells because he didn't have anything better to do? He was digging on instruction. Sometimes when we read that scripture, we make it seem as if he dug the first well. They quarreled. He left it for them because the cucumber does not have power. It's phlegmatic. So he did not have power to quarrel. So he went to dig the second one. They collected it again. Told these people, leave it. Let's be digging. One day God will. That's not why. That's not why he was digging. See, when you have a word from God that in this land I will prosper you, you will keep digging until that word comes to pass. Hebrews 10:23 says that we must hold fast to the profession of faith unwaveringly. It says because God can be trusted to keep his word. If God has told you something, stay on it until he produces, because it must produce. I guarantee you, this word of God, it works 100% of the time. 100 without fail. The word of God cannot fail. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. It's perfect. Perfect. That guy was digging because he had heard that God would prosper him in that land. So all this soft life, just take it chill. It's not really scripture. You labor to enter his rest. So when you labor, you enter the rest. You enter the soft life. But there's a labor. You labor in the word. You labor in prayer. And you do the work and the assignment God has given you. So this guy dog, not because he didn't have anything better to do, but he had an instruction that in this land I will prosper you. If he had said after the first one, the second one, say, maybe I didn't hear God, let me just carry my bag. You can't waver. You cannot waver. You must be sure that God has said. So if we're shouting that we're entering our Rehoboth, that we have gotten to our place of fruitfulness, where God will enlarge us, did God really tell you that? Or you were passing and you heard Jesus tell Peter to come and you too, you put leg. Where you go drown, eh? Then no see your pieces speak. So let me tell you how you know you're in your real boss. Okay, I have a few minutes. Okay. Which one is my time? This one or this one? This one. Thank you. How to know that you're in your real boss? Because that's I think, is a lot of people's challenges. You may even be in your real boat because it doesn't look like it. You may not know. You may still be in your stage of digging. And sometimes, I don't know how many people have seen that picture. There's one picture on social media where two people are digging. And then someone gets very close to diamond and then he turns back. And then the other person just keeps, he was just so close to it. A lot of times we're so close to entering a Rehoboth. We're so close. But not knowing that we're near it is usually the problem. This is why a lot of people give up and turn around. God can bless you anywhere. You don't have to go to Canada. God can bless you anywhere. Tell your neighbor, God can bless you anywhere. You don't have to go to Canada. Did you say that one no loud? Give me Psalm 23. If you're going to enter your Rehoboth, the Lord has to be your shepherd. The Lord has to be your shepherd. So what is Rehoboth? Rehoboth, number one, is a place of provision. A place where provision is made available. Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some versions say, I have everything I need. So if you are your Rehoboth, one of the ways to recognize it is that you have everything you need. Even if other people don't have everything they need, you will have everything you need. Why? Because you have a shepherd. Listen, the way God operates, if you want to understand God, understand the way he deals with his people. So God wanted to give the children of Israel the land. One of the things he said to Moses, he also said to Joshua, he said, send spies. Send people ahead to go and see this land. You see, and then they sent people to go and see the land so that they could have a picture of where God was taking them. And they got there and they said, oh, and they brought fruit from the land. Very big. Everything was beautiful. The land flowing with milk and honey. They had a clear picture. Now, do you think that God would take you into a place that he has not already gone ahead of you? God doesn't operate like that. He's not a do as I say, but don't do as I do. He's not like that. You know, sometimes our parents used to be like that. My mother might be watching, so I don't think I should say this. But our parents used to be like that. They will not. In fact, my son asks me all the time, he say, Mommy, you say we should not use our phone, but you are always on your phone. Sometimes, even as parents, we too can be a do as I say, don't do as I do. And we may argue because I'm an adult, but they are watching you. And children learn more from what they see than what they hear. So God is not like natural parents. God will say something and he will do it. So he's not going to tell somebody to send spies and then tell you blindly, oh, I said I'll give you land, just enter. No. He will go ahead of you. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says that the Lord himself will go before you. That's how God operates. He says, so don't be afraid that you will fail. Why? Because the Lord himself will go before you. That's the confidence you should use to follow God. The shepherd that you have, he doesn't say, you know what, I'm a shepherd. He looks at that place, it's green, be going. No. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Give me next verse. Give me Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, oh. Should I not read my own? Okay. Give me verse 2. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The thing about God, if he's going to lead you to your Rehoboth, he's not going to let you go alone. He will lead you. And let me tell you something about God. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where God leads you. He said he makes me to lie down where? I can't hear you now. We're angry. Is it because I'm not shouting at you? Should I shout? It's not every time somebody will shout now. I'm not eating this morning. There's somebody that will shout. Reverend Bright is here. We shout now. He will shout and even ask people that help him to shout. Did you come with them? Ah, did you come with them? That's okay. Let's help him today. You're preaching good. You're preaching good. Miss call. We know him. So the grass is not greener on the other side. So all these things you are looking at. Some people see, do you know, sometimes people believe that when they travel abroad, that when they get to the airport, they will share dollars for them. Or their dollars are on the street. That's the reason why you are hustling to go now. Because you think that it will be different when you get there. The only thing that will make the difference is if you go with God. And I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying don't go. I'm just saying make sure that God is leading you somewhere and that you are going at his pace. And that's the thing about sheep. Sheep always follow. Sheep don't lead. So if the Lord is really your shepherd, then what you are saying is, I'm going to follow your leadership. And anywhere God leads you to, there's provision. There's green pastures. There's still water. Green talks about being, about flourishing, about things working for you. You are blessed in every currency. You are blessed in your body, blessed in your mind. You see all this mental health, mental, you know this generation? This generation, if you just talk to them small, they say, oh, why did you resign? My mental health. My mental health. See, you will be blessed even in your mental health. Ah, you can't shout at them. They can resign. Before you just say, I just spoke to this girl this morning. I told her she would just resign and leave the work for you. Plus the assignment you gave her, plus the office, plus the phone. They will leave everything and stand up and be going because their mental health. As if those of us who are older, they didn't give us mental, but that's not. So the first thing you will notice is that provision is available. Second thing about your Rehoboth is that you don't lose your soul. People are doing all kinds of things to enter their so-called Rehoboth. If you need to sleep around to enter your Rehoboth, it's not your Rehoboth. And if you need to falsify figures in your office to enter your Rehoboth, it's not your Rehoboth. If you need to run abroad, burn your passport and tell them that you are an, what's that thing they call? You are asylum. That they want to kill you in your country. That's it. You are blown lie. You have disowned your parents, your siblings. They say, what about your parents? Well, they were all killed in the war. Your father is in the village. Nothing's wrong with him. If you have to lose your soul, it's not your Rehoboth. And these are things that people do every day. They get abroad and all of a sudden, you hear all kinds of stories. Maybe plane is fine. They just say, what's happening? I'm traumatized. In my country, they are bombing their mom. You are from Lagos. You even live in VI. So where did you hear bomb, please? Because you want to collect passports. If you need to lose your soul, it's not your Rehoboth. Look at verse 3 of that scripture. Please, we're reading Psalm 23. Just stay on it with me. Verse 3. He says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. So you will be able to live right even in that place. If you have to struggle to live right, then it's not your Rehoboth. Another person's husband is not your Rehoboth. I just said I should say it. He may be paying your school fees, paying your house rent. He has even paid house rent for your parents. He's not your robot. He's somebody's husband. Somebody's husband. Side chick is not a job. Let me just pass. When you are in your Rehoboth, you don't have to do crazy things to be blessed. You walk in the blessing that already exists. You don't have to sell your soul. You don't have to sleep with lecturer to pass. You already have more understanding than your lecturers. You have the mind of Christ. So if you write the exam, you can't fail. Because if Jesus writes the exam, you can't fail. There's a consciousness you have. You walk in it. You don't have to do anything extra. So the first thing is, provision is available. The second thing is, you don't lose your soul. The first thing is what? The second thing is, you don't lose your soul. The third thing, how you recognize your Rehoboth, you are protected. You are protected. You are protected. Give me verse 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but currently, Nigeria feels like the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe I don't say my own. No. Maybe for you, it doesn't feel like that, but it does. To me. Because most times, when you wake up in the morning, you don't know what, it's when you go to Jamaica that you know that craziness is happening everywhere. People will not send me say, do not pass this route. Something is happening. Do not. And you just feel like God. But even there, wherever you are sent, you'll be protected. They are killing people in America. You are there, you'll be protected. They are doing gay in other countries. You are there, you'll be protected. Because you don't think about the other. See, we may not have natural. Let me not even go there. Let me not look for Trump. Because you see, sometimes when people talk about relocating, and I'm saying that because a lot of people have automatically assumed that their Rehoboth is outside Nigeria. It will shock you that some of you will prosper even more in this land. Some people have gone, they've come back. Most of these musicians, why are they coming back? Why do you go to the airport and you still see white men, they're coming into Nigeria? They know exactly what they are doing. Make no mistakes. They know that this land is blessed. You will be blessed if this is where God sends you. So don't automatically think that it's another place. Those places you are running to, there's danger there too. You are complaining about not seeing your child here. You will see your child, but there. They may call you Bob. Hi, Bob. Don't be stupid, Bob. That's what you want. No, I can't take it though. I can't take it though. Because they beat. And they will say we cannot beat there. They said, well, one day Pastor Ken and I were preaching for a church outside the country. And so we're talking, they asked us a question on parenting. And Pastor Ken said, so I said, smack. Pastor Ken said, when you beat, this is where he said that thing. He said, when you beat them, you, and the pastor said, you know, we don't really, you can tell where they are located because we don't really talk like that. I go brush you, go enter room, I go lock door, I go brush you. Parenting is not easier there. They will call police for you. Yeah. You beat your child will be answering, your neighbor will be passing. What is happening? You see, imagine I'm beating the child, the neighbor will help you to beat the child. How many of you growing up for the much older people? How many of you, at least much older people, did your mother even have to come and beat you? Auntie will beat you, I'll be beating you from outside and bringing you home. But now you can't even talk to children. Now you can't even tell a child no. They say it will affect the child's self-esteem. Oh, you have not heard it. You don't know the latest in parenting. So before you go, make sure God is sending you. It's not this way you are bullying your wife there. You are bullying your wife here. So I just cross with her. They will send you out with your boxers. She will just call the police and lock the door. Be sure it's where God is sending you. Your Rehoboth is where God is. In this land, 1,000 may fall by your side, 10,000 at your right. It will not come near you. That's how you know it's your Rehoboth. Your child can come abroad. They can come home and tell you that, oh, mom, I think I'm in love with John. I like the way John... Your child I'm talking about is Manu. Mm-hmm. See, all those things, we don't think about it. All we're thinking about is money. You can get money and lose your soul. You can get money and lose your soul. Your Rehoboth makes sure that you don't lose your soul. You're protected from evil anywhere. They may be doing anything in this country. See, you are in a bubble. You don't understand. There's a shield around you. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. And you see the thing about God. He will surround you. Then the Bible now says that he's in the midst of them. So he's surrounding you, but yet he's in the midst of you. So whether the attack is coming from outside or within, you are protected. So a few minutes ago when I played my intro, I don't think you heard it. I always said, you can't touch me and go scot-free. I'm so conscious of where I am. I'm in my Rehoboth. I'm right where God wants me per time. So you can't plan evil for me. You see, and the thing about our God is that he will rescue you in a way that you won't even know you needed rescuing. You will go through things and you will not even... Look at the three Hebrew boys. They were right where God wanted them to be. Even though they were slaves, they were right. You know how I know? They were in the midst of that trouble. And then the king said, I'm going to give you one last chance to bow to me. And they say, king, see, don't bother yourself. This one last chance where you won't give us, no need. You see, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. He said, we will not bow. Because the God that we serve is able to save us. But even if he doesn't save us, king, don't be angry, but we will still not bow. The king said, what? See, in fact, to make increase the fire. As they were increasing the fire, people that were increasing the fire killed them all. You see, when you read the Bible, it's not, sometimes we look at it like a storybook. It's real life. Does fire not kill? Fire kills. So fire killed these people. And then these boys were thrown into this fire. And they said there was a fourth man. He was in the midst of them. And you see, fire can't burn fire. Yeah, think about it. Fire cannot burn fire. Because the God we serve is Alagbada, you know. He's the one that wears fire like a garment. So the fire was just adding to his clothes. He was just making his Alagbada bigger. And his children were inside him, covered. Nothing could harm them. Then do you know the most beautiful part? They came out of that fire. And the Bible says that their clothes were not burnt and they did not smell of smoke. So I'm telling you, no matter what you go through, if it is your Rehoboth, you'll be protected. And you will come through that thing and you will not look like what you went through. There are things that people are going through every day. But because of who we know we serve, you know, first of all, you will come out of it and you will not look. And you see what happened? After that, the king now made a decree that if anybody ever bows to anything other than these people's God, that's how I knew they were in their Rehoboth. Because one of the things it will do for you is that it will make God use you to show off. Once you're in your Rehoboth, God will use you to... He said he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So people may plan evil for you, but you are protected. You are protected. God chooses to use you as a supernatural advertisement. So the first thing is, how do you know you're in your Rehoboth? The first thing is what? Provision is available. The second thing is, you don't lose your soul. The third thing is, and the fourth thing is, you are supernaturally advertised. God does not need to take permission from anybody to bless you. Right there, in the presence of your enemies, he will prepare, in fact, Message Translation says, he prepares a six-course meal. Six-course. Even when you go to expensive restaurants, they don't do six-course. They don't do six-course. But God prepares a six-course meal in the presence of your enemies. If he prepares this feast for only you privately, does it make sense? No. Because who go pack your plate? Your enemies have to be there. There are things that we think are a problem. You see, when we have opposition, just like Isaac, Isaac will dig well. They will go there. They will collect it or they will cover it. He will dig well. They will collect. Right in the midst of his enemies, right there, was where God decided to bless him. Right there. So sometimes when there's challenge around you, because sometimes one of the things I've noticed about people think that just because God is with you, you won't have challenges. That's not true. That's not true. Look at where Jesus was baptized. I don't know why that just came to me. Where Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." The very next verse says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness from there to be tempted of Satan. Somebody that God just said, "Oh, this is my beloved son. I'm proud of him. I love him." Shouldn't they just carry him from there to the synagogue? The Spirit of God did not take him to a synagogue. Took him straight to the wilderness. Wilderness is a place of extremes. It will be too hot. It will be too cold. And he was alone. Took him there. For what purpose? To be tempted of Satan. So you may be going through things, but you see, at the end of it, you will come out victoriously. You will come out victoriously. There's one scripture. Let me not go there. It's taking me away from my message. So God will supernaturally advertise you. I remember when, I think it was during the lockdown. Was it during the lockdown or before the lockdown? Way before the lockdown. Pastor K had preached one message about women, that God's plan was that a man and a woman would stay sexually pure. And then when it was time to get married, that a woman would give the man, when they now get married, the woman will give the man sexual satisfaction, the man will give her security. So the plan was that they would exchange, you know. That's what would make the man marry her. But because most women are sleeping around them, men don't want to marry anymore. And ordinarily, there's nothing wrong with that message. But somebody just took it upon herself to be angry. That why will you say that a woman should keep herself sexually pure? Doesn't the woman have to have desires like men? And I never believed in my lifetime that a time will come when people will be opening their mouth and this kind of rubbish, this level of rubbish will be coming out of it. I never in my life believed that a time will come you cannot watch television with your children. They say they are doing Big Brother shows like that. They are doing live sex. Does it not that they are acting it all? They say it's reality. Should be reality means that it's real. So they're having real sex like this in life, like this. And people are watching it. that boy, now two of them, baby. And people are having serious conversations like this. And this girl, do you know, hide her face. She's popular. Came out and was fighting this fight. And blogs carried it. Pastor says women are supposed to, well, women don't have sex. They were just talking rubbish. I was very confused though. But you know what? Even though it seemed like a crazy time, when they were doing all those things, different blogs were carrying it. People were saying, who be this pastor? People are saying, wait till they talk, makes sense now. They now started following him. That was when Pastor K became very popular on social media. Prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. So they meant it for evil, but God. I said they meant it for evil, but God. God turned it around. Because look at it ordinarily, did it make sense? You just know that it's beef. Because it don't make sense now. Are women supposed to be sleeping around before? I don't understand. I didn't understand it. I still don't. But she came out and she was fighting it. And people were answering and she was answering them. She took her time and was answering them. They will answer her that, how can you even say that? Are you not supposed to be a Christian? She will answer them back. I said, and see, you are a Christian. At least that's what you say you are. But God wanted to use that thing. He still found a way to turn it around. So even in the presence of your enemies, in your office, they will be gossiping about you. What's her own? Her own is too much. What's her own? Her own is too much. One day, your just boss will just ask, who is this person that her own is too much? They will check and find out that your own really is too much, but in a good way, they'll promote you. That's how it works. If you are your rainbow, but nobody can bring you down. Nobody. And you see, that's the thing about sheep. They know. Sheep are very confident. Very, very confident when they are following their shepherd. When shepherd is moving like this, they don't even ask whether should we go this way, should we go that. They'll just be following the shepherd. And they all follow together. If one miss road, all of them will miss road. That's how sheep follow. They're not like goats, so. But you see, even then, I'm not going to go there. But even then, his staff and his rod. His staff he will use to protect you. His rod, he will use it to draw you back gently. That come back this way. When they're about to go off the cliff, he'll just use that and draw you back. That's why I know that you cannot miss it. If you follow your shepherd, you will reach your Rehoboth. Because that's where he's taking you to. That's where he's taking you to. And the fifth thing, the final thing, I'll end here. Fifth thing. Verse 6. So what's the first thing? Number 2. Number 3. Number 4. You are supernaturally advertised. Let me tell you, there's nothing as beautiful as God himself advertising you. And that's his ultimate goal. There's nothing as beautiful as God advertising you. Ah. If you follow God's instructions, in 2019, I'm not sure, but I think I shared it last time. In 2019, I just finished exercising one morning, sat on the floor, too tired to go upstairs. So I just sat down. And to be honest, I was not trying to have any deep revelation. I was just too tired to go upstairs. So as I was sitting on the floor downstairs in my parlor, I said to myself, make it no waste. Since I'm here, let me kukuma use this time to just pray. So I just started praying in tongues. And then I heard God say to me, praying with Pastor M. I say, praying with Pastor M. I say, yes, I want to use praying. I want you to start praying with Pastor M. This was end of 2019. I said, praying with Pastor M. Where? IG Live. I say, Holy Spirit, no, no, God disgrace ourselves for public. I say, have you heard me shout before? We don't know how Nigerians used to pray. My prayer is not a romantic prayer. It's not, Daddy, I love you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. I know your word says this, and I know you'll do it for me. I'm confident. The only time we shout is where we are warning Satan. We don't shout too loud because he's not deaf. I said, so you see that kind of prayer? I said, I should go and pray it on Instagram. Sir, let's be doing our things in our room. Nobody knows us. Let's leave it like that. He said, no. And I want it at 3 p.m. I laughed a second time. Are people not in the office at 3 o'clock? I said, you will not leave. They will leave what they are doing to come on Instagram Live to pray at 3 o'clock. Sir, I'm not even sure I'm hearing you. Let's leave this matter. So I went upstairs, told Pastor K. Pastor K said, hey, now. Go and do it now. And I said, 3 p.m. He said, 3 p.m. though. Won't people be at work? I said, that's why. But he said, but you know that God speaks to you. And this is not the first time God says, so go and do it. So we started. Not long after that, lockdown. So 3 p.m., people were available. 3 p.m., people were not only available, they were hungry for something to do. Because people were bored. From morning to night, you are just inside your house. And so we started praying with Pastor. So he started as praying with Pastor M. And then from there, from the prayers, I started adding teachings. So people started calling me 3 p.m. with PM. 3 p.m. with PM. And today, I don't think that I go anywhere that I've not met a tribe member. I've never talked about it before. I don't even go the extra mile. I don't even do, when I go there, I'm wasting pastor. I said, I don't even know what people are looking for here because me, I'll just go there, just laugh, share my own experiences. This is how the word applies for me. This is what I did today with the word. This is what God said to me. And then we'll just pray. Or I'll say, oh, this month we're praying for our children, we're praying for our mother. I'm not exerting myself. Sometimes you see me, I'm on the road. If I'm cooking, it's the way 3 p.m. meets me. We cook together. I'm not going to stop my life for you people. We will be living the life together. If I'm changing something, if I'm washing, anything I'm doing, we will do it together. We'll just be talking there. If I'm in the car, I'll put it on. Okay, guys, I'm on the road. This morning is what I studied. Blah, blah, blah. God bless you guys. Bye. And you see people, it started going. Before I knew it, people started, invitation. I say, I now start asking, say, wait till the day, fine. What am I going to go there and say? But you see, the funny thing is that it was God using it to advertise me. I had no hand in it. I'm telling you, it's sweeter. It's not by paying for PR. It's not by paying for Facebook ad. It's not by that. When God wants to advertise you, he will advertise you. Is verse 6 ready now? He says, surely, without a doubt, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, he says, surely, goodness and mercy, surely. So the last thing, how you know you are in your robot, is that you enjoy the full favors of God. His goodness, his mercy. And it will follow you. You know, when something is following you, you can't really do anything about it. It's when you are following something that you say you want to stop. But something is following you. If you go like this, it will follow you. If you go like this, it will follow you. If you go like this, if you move back, it will follow you. It is following you. So in other words, you don't have a choice. When you are in your Rehoboth, you don't have a choice but to be blessed. Anything you do, even if you do and think it's a mistake, it will turn together for your favor. That's the mercy of God will speak for you. If you put effort, the goodness of God will speak for you. Anywhere you go, it will favor you. That's how you know you're in your Rehoboth. That I'm in this Nigeria, if I sell rice, I will sell. If I do event planning, I will sell. If I decide to preach, I will be blessed. If I decide to start selling book, I will be blessed. If I want to do courses, I will be blessed. That's how you know that you're in your Rehoboth. That place you are, the favor of God will keep speaking for you. People will be running around to bless you. You won't have a choice. When you are in your Rehoboth, and your Rehoboth is not a location. Your Rehoboth is a person. When you are connected to God, at every point in time, his goodness and his mercy will follow you. So whether you are in Lagos, because you are connected to God, who is your Rehoboth, you will be blessed. If you go to Ghana, you will be blessed. If you go to Canada, you will be blessed. If you go to Egypt, you will be blessed. Recently, Pastor Guy and I went to do a meeting in Ghana. An amazing meeting. We had a great time. And then we're about to come home. But before we came home, I entered the church. And they introduced me, and then a group of women erupted, were shouting. And then I looked, they were wearing one t-shirt from one of our past conferences, Revived. So I said, this one, I'm in Ghana, maybe I should meet with the Ghana tribe. And so I assumed maybe 10, 20 people would be there. So I sent a message to the tribe, our city rep. So I said to her, okay, I'm in town, I'll meet with your people. They were so excited, okay, we'll meet in this place. May I walked in with slippers, and like I've just finished preaching, I just walked in with slippers, so I almost passed out. About 100 women were seated there. Then they now gave me a problem. This one will say, you bless me, ma. You bring gift box. This one, I say, all these things, how am I supposed to take it home? So I did not have room to contain it. That's what the blessing does for you. That's what it means to be your Rehoboth. Anywhere you go, goodness and mercy will follow you. I said, okay, it's Ghana now. I shall pay the excess luggage. I was coming back. I got to London. Same thing. I had to pay excess luggage. I had to cargo load. So now, as I'm going back to London, I want to put it on my pay that please cash gifts only. Cash is not too heavy. I don't even have to cargo it. I can cargo my load and carry it. God. And he says, goodness and mercy will follow you, and you shall dwell. That dwelling means that there's room for you. When you're going to dwell somewhere, means that there's room for you. Genesis 26, verse 22. Let's read it again, and I'll end with that. Have you learned anything so far? 22. He says, and he moved from there, and he dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called it Rehoboth. Because he said, for now, the Lord, who? So it is the Lord who makes room for you. It is the Lord that makes room for you. And he said, the Lord has made room for us for a reason. Why? So that we will flourish. God doesn't just make room for you so that you will sit down. He doesn't just make room for you so that you will have space to stand. He doesn't just make room for you so that you say, me too, I follow. He makes room for you so that you will flourish. Have you ever seen a pet that is well taken care of? Have you seen all those Oyibo pets? You see how they are fresh and they are chubby and they are clean and they are well fed. They are like fat and flourishing. They are really, that's how you should be if you are in your Rehoboth. It is God who makes room for you so that you can flourish. He doesn't make room for you that is small. The word flourish means expansion. The word flourish means that you are fruitful, that you are fertile. It means that things are happening around you. So what does that mean? It means you need space. What did I say? You need space. So he says the Lord has made room for you so that you can flourish. And I know that after this conference, even the room you think God has made for you will be too small in the name of Jesus. I declare that you will spread on the right and on the left. I declare that you will flourish in ways that will bless even those around you in the name of Jesus. But I want us to end with prayer. Can we rise to our feet? Interestingly, this prayer, I pray it everywhere I go because I know the importance. Proverbs 20 verse 12, it says, seeing eyes and hearing ears are of the Lord. You need to be able to know where your Rehoboth is. Don't move because everybody is moving. Don't move because everybody is what? For you to hear the shepherd and to see the shepherd, you have to have seeing eyes and hearing ears. Some people have decoration. This thing is decoration. This one and this one. What you will see. So I want to just take a minute and begin to declare. Say, I have seeing eyes and hearing ears. I want you to pray for yourself. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. Say, I have seeing eyes and hearing ears. He says it is of the Lord, so it's already available. And I need you to take it. Say, I have seeing eyes and hearing ears. Makalusha, Brahandekede, Sabaludosha, Mambradosa. As we're praying, please give me Ephesians 1:17. Makala bakalusha talia mambra hadegedeza imbradosha kalia mambra hadegedez. Declare that I see, I know where my Rehoboth is. I hear my shepherd. I do not hear the voice of a stranger. Makala kadishta kalia bahandegede. I know when to move, I know when to stop. I know where to go. I have strong discernment. Because of that, I'm not stranded. I'm not confused. I see God clearly. I hear him clearly. I know those who should be in my space. I know those who I should let go of. I know when I should dig and when I should stop digging. I know when I should go down to Egypt and when I should not go down to Egypt. Declare, I am not confused. I know there's a time to plant, but there's also a time to harvest. I know there's a time to build, but there's also a time to uproot. I have clear understanding. In the name of Jesus. Ephesians 1, verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Can you give me this in Message translation? Message translation, 17 and 18 in Message translation. It says, I ask the God of our master. Father, please give them hearing ears in Jesus' name. Okay. It says, I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning. I don't know about the rest of you, but I want to be intelligent and discerning. In knowing him personally, give me verse 18. It says, your eyes focused and clear. Your eyes what? So when I say seeing eyes, this is what I'm talking about. Your eyes are focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. You will no longer be confused. When people say, Canada is moving now, you will see clearly whether that's what God wants you to do. You will grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Give me verse 19 in TPT. There's an end to why God wants your eyes to be open. He says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power. God wants to advertise you. He wants to show people what his power can do wherever you are. So So I want you to pray that your eyes will be focused. Your eyes will be clear. You will know God, what God wants you to do. So that at the end of the day, you will live a life that is worthy of God using as advertisement. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. That when God is done with me, he will use my life to show off. He will show people what a life submitted to him can do. Open your mouth and pray for yourself this morning. Say that my eyes will be focused. My eyes will be clear. That I will see. I will hear instructions clearly. I will not be stranded because I will know where to go. I will know what to do. Your power will be at work in my life so that you will use me as an advertisement in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your power that is available in this place to give us instruction, to give us direction. Thank you for the grace it will give us to be resilient, to keep digging until we reach our Rehoboth. In the mighty name of Jesus, were you blessed this morning? Let's celebrate Jesus.
Come on.